1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show, your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
All right, coming up on Christmas week, that means a lot of holiday basketball. We're going to talk about a bunch that's coming up, but also games that happened this past week. It's Thursday. That means that Murray Ledger and Times sports editor Blake Bermier joins us. We'll also talk some NFL here at the end. But, Blake, when we visited last time, we were getting set for Crosstown Classic. Of course, you never know what's going to happen when those games get together. And it was sort of the unexpected, really beginning with the girls' game. It was a good Callaway County win as they pick up a 42-37 victory over Murray. What was the difference for Callaway getting their first win of the season against Murray?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you're the best player on the court was on Callaway. I mean, Charlie Settle, there was no one that Murray had that could slow her down. They tried to be physical with her, and it just didn't really change the outcome there. She was able to score. But the other real major change is in years past, with Settle out there, we've seen, the last 2 years and now this year with Tom, Wyatt Faust and the Faust brothers have essentially defensively game plan to where they'll leave one person completely open. I mean, it was Brianna Emery, Addison Hicks the last couple of years. This year, they went with, we'll leave Sonny Clark alone, and if she beats us, she beats us. And, she knocks down 6 points in that game. She played huge. I know she ended up getting the axe for Callaway County, which is sort of there. You work hard, you get this as a recognition for your play today. Had a lot of good rebounds, and overall, her major contribution was she was guarding Callie Carver and kind of slowed her down, at least on the offensive end. So, I felt like it was going to be a great game. It ended up being a great game. It was very close, definitely closer than the boys' game ended up being. But Callaway just finally got over that hump, and you could see the emotion after the game from the Callaway players, that have not experienced that, because it had been 7 years since Callaway had defeated Murray High. I mean, it was January of 2012 the last time that happened.
Wow.
So none of these players were on that team the last time it happened. And so for them to finally get that win over Murray, even though, if you talk to some of the coaches, this game at the end of the day doesn't mean anything because it the way the district works, you could lose the first two and win the next two, and you could still win the district. It's really just going to come down to the next few games. But it was great to see, and Murray put up a good fight. I mean, if Murray can play like they did just recently, and we'll talk about this game in a minute, but when they played Marshall, if they can play along those lines, the way they played that game for the first three quarters, they can still beat Callaway. It's just, Callaway finally found a way to get over that hump, and they're playing a lot of really young players right now. Both teams are, and they're getting contributions from both sides.
It also carried over for Callaway because they then beat Graves County 50-43, and there was many that believed Graves might be the team to beat. Well, if that's the case, then Callaway's thrown their hat into the ring too with that victory.
Yeah, as far as the region goes, I mean, from what I've seen so far, McCracken is the team to beat. And then I would put Graves around number four in the region. But it was a really good win for Callaway. It solidified where I had them at number three in the region. It solidified that spot. It was a better offensive performance than we've seen out of Callaway so far this year. And it's one of those things where if they have their shots falling, because they do have good shooters in Addison Schumacher, who knocked down two, or Addie Schumacher, that is, she knocked down two threes in that game. Addison Hicks can shoot the ball, but she hasn't shot well to start here. Skylar Waller can shoot, but hasn't really shot well from three outside of one game where she hit four. If they start getting those three-point shooters all hitting at the same time, Callaway is a very dangerous team, and defensively they're going to be what they've always been, which is a very good defensive team. Coach Waller really harps on that end, and I thought that, you know, going into that game, Graves, the only thing I'd seen out of Graves was when they played Murray, and Murray had a 10-point lead that they let slip away in the fourth quarter. So I knew that Graves was definitely beatable for Callaway, and to see the final score was, I wouldn't say shocking, but it was nice to see that Callaway had a complete game.
They'll play Christian County at home Friday night. Christian County, they have a losing record right now, but they get a big test against Breckenridge County. And if Breckenridge County beats Meade County Friday night, they'll go in to that Callaway game with a 7-0 record. So pretty stiff weekend test for the Lakers with the back-to-back games.
Yeah, the Christian County game, that's not Christian County of the last 2 years. That's a team that's kind of down. I would compare them a little bit to where Murray High is right now, you know. They've had a long history of winning, and this is a season where they are struggling. I expect Callaway to go in and win that game pretty easily. But then you mentioned the Breckenridge game, and that is a true test. And it just the losses that Callaway does have this year are against teams that are good enough to make the state tournament this year. I mean, every team they have lost to has that kind of potential. Even the team they played out of Vincennes could potentially be a state tournament team in Illinois. So it's a good way to test themselves early, because if they do somehow find a way to make that run late and win the regional tournament, they're going to play these teams again at some point. And so having that opportunity to play this high-level competition now, I think it'll just prepare them for later on down the road.
Now let's switch to the Murray High girls, and we talked a bit about their game from the Callaway perspective. Now from the Murray perspective, they go in rolling along, lose to Callaway by five, then lost to Apollo and lost to Marshall County. So has the region got everybody figured out for Murray High, or what's going on there?
Well, like I said, with the Callaway game, you know, their defense was there. Their game plan was exactly what I expected it to be. It just kind of backfired on them a little bit with Sonny Clark being able to knock down some shots. And then, you know, you move on to the Marshall game. I was at Marshall or at Callaway or at Murray for the Marshall game. And Murray came out on fire. I mean, they were hitting shot after shot. They took that game to halftime down by one. And obviously Marshall is the team I have at number two in the region. I mean, you got McCracken one, Marshall two, Callaway three. They were giving Marshall a run, and it was about the third quarter with maybe 3 minutes left when things started to slowly unravel for them. They gave up a few too many transition baskets, and Hallie Lange, who, you know, is a stellar post player, ended up knocking down two threes in the fourth quarter. And I mean, that's one of those things that, like KJ Wiggins from Murray State, if he's making those, then, you know, we're there's nothing we can do to stop him, you know, because Hallie's so dominant down in the post that if she can step out and knock down the three, what are you supposed to do?
Right.
And you know, she ended up kind of closing out that fourth quarter for them. They got plenty of big shots out of Presley Jezik and Laney P. Case and Connor had a great game for Marshall, so. You know, Murray's going to have to go back to their basics as far as their defensive schemes go, and they're going to have to slowly work through the growing pains here because, again, they are an extremely young team. You know, you don't really say that a lot about Murray High, but this is the first year where they're truly, like, a very young team. They're maybe six deep, and that's about it, because outside of those six, you put somebody else on the court, and there's a clear mismatch at one point or the other. So, you know, and actually that's been the case for the last few years where, you know, they have five, maybe six that can go, and the rest are kind of, as soon as we put them on the court, we're going to have a disadvantage. So Tom Faust is working through those things, and I like what they were doing on the offensive end. Again, it really just came down to the transition baskets that they gave up, and then the fact that Lange was able to step out from three, that kind of just allowed them to pull away there late in that game. So, Murray's going to be okay. They're going to still give a run to the District 4 opponents, but this might be the first year that they don't reach the regional tournament in I don't even remember how long. It's been that much of a run of dominance for them. I think that this might be the first year where they don't quite have enough pieces to fill out the puzzle.
Well, they will get tested, especially a young team playing three games in 3 days, the Lady Redhound Christmas Bash in Corbin. They'll start with Knox Central, each team trying to snap a three-game losing skid. Let's move on to the Murray boys. As you know, we were talking about the Crosstown Classic matchup. It might come down to which team does this or that. I was shocked at this score as Murray High pulls away for the 63-37 win. Didn't see this one coming.
Yeah, and I'm with you because you know, you look at what both teams have done coming in. Callaway with a 5-point loss to McCracken, which is a really good loss. I mean, it's hard to say that about a loss, but they lost by 5 to a team that's going to compete for the regional championship. So they were playing well, and then obviously, you know, Murray High was playing at a really high level. Thought it would be a much closer game. The big difference in that game was just a shooting percentage. I mean, Callaway shot 27% from the field, and meanwhile, Murray shot 54%. I mean, you're going to lose every game that happens. And it wasn't that Callaway got bad looks. They just weren't hitting their shots. And on the other side, Murray was getting just slightly better looks. They didn't take a whole lot of outside shots. I think they took 15 threes to 19 from Callaway. But they also hit 7 of their 15. So they were hitting well when they did take those. Callaway only hit 3 of 19 from 3. So to me, the big difference in that game was simply shots falling and shots not falling, because I didn't feel like there was a huge advantage one way or the other for either side. It was just a fact that Murray contested just enough to make those shots rim out. And I think that the next time those two teams play, if both two teams are shooting around 42% or 50%, somewhere in that range, we're going to have ourselves a buzzer beater style or an overtime game even, because they're that evenly matched. It just comes down to those shots falling.
Murray then did not have carryover, although the competition was strong as they had to go Saturday and play at Memphis against Christian Brothers. They lost 47-42 and then lost to Marshall County at home 69-55. So back-to-back losses after the big win over Callaway.
Yeah, so the game in Memphis against Christian Brothers, you know, I was told that essentially what they were able to do against Murray was be very physical and force them off of their spots defensively. And that made it difficult on Murray to score. I mean, you look at that final score, they only put up 42 points. That's a season low, and you don't expect them to be below 50 points again for the rest of the year. It was just a very talented team out of Memphis. And then, obviously, at the Murray Marshall game earlier this week, and went to that because, you know, it's a big district game. And you get a chance to see Zion Harmon and see what he's all about. And talking with one of the players after the game on Zion, and I was told that, you know, with that guy out on the court, it almost seems like to him everything's moving in slow motion. He said it would be like as if I were to play with a bunch of middle school kids right now. That's what it felt like.
Wow.
As far as the way Zion was able to kind of just manage that game. And Zion did not take, you know, 30 shots in that game. He finished with 29 points and I think 6 assists. And he really just kind of controlled the pace of the game. He got where he wanted when he wanted. And, you know, Charvel McAllister, credit to him for the defensive effort that he actually did have on Zion. I know that, you know, the numbers don't really say it, but there were a couple of times where Charvel actually did harass him just enough to make him give it up, not where necessarily he wanted it to. It was a eye-opening experience, though, for Murray, I'm sure, having that first experience against Harmon. I think the next time they play him, they'll have a little different game plan as far as how they're going to try to defend him, what they're going to try to do to get the ball out of his hands and force others to beat him. But that's another thing about that game is the others did beat them that night because, Nimmo stepped up and knocked down four threes, and Powell stepped up and started knocking down shots, which wasn't what happened against Madisonville for Marshall. You know, they didn't get that supporting cast contribution. They got that against Murray. And as far as the Murray offense goes, you know, going into that game, their game plan was to get the ball in the post to Duffy and try to work the inside, and that didn't happen very much in the first half. In fact, the way I wrote it was essentially a duel between Harmon and Whitaker, and Grant Whitaker held his own. Don't get me wrong on that. He finished with 24 points, just five behind Harmon, but the rest of the team, you know, Trey Bogus, who's been shooting the ball well, didn't knock down his open three looks. Gabe Taylor didn't knock down his open threes. Charvel McAllister had a good game offensively. I think he finished with 9 points. But outside of Grant, nobody else finished in double figures. And if Murray's going to knock off Marshall, they're going to need that supporting cast. You know, it's not going to happen. It can't just be Grant Whitaker. Now, plus side, you've got Hunter Utley is due back in about a week and a half. So whether he can come right back and immediately make an impact or if he's going to need a couple weeks to get back into basketball rhythm is to be seen. But they're getting a little bit of reinforcements coming up really soon.
Biggest shot of the week by Grant Whitaker was at the Murray State game, though, right?
Oh, it sure was. I've already told this story many a times, but we're sitting there. Obviously, they always do the half-court shot for charity. It's a $5,000 half-court shot for Needline. And I'm sitting there talking with Will Aubrey, and they're about to do the half-court shot, and I don't ever pay attention to it because they're never close.
Yeah.
And they announce who's going to do it, and I hear Grant Whitaker, and I stop talking, and I said, hold on a minute, Will. I've got to record this. He's about to knock this shot down. So I pull out my phone. I record the shot. It's on Twitter right now at PXT Blake. But he knocked it down, and that was one of those things where I told Will, I said, there are two players right now in this district that if they would have said their names, I would have stopped that conversation like I did and taken a video. Grant Whitaker and Cade Butler. If either one of those are taking a half-court shot for charity, I'll video it because those kids can shoot.
All right, the Murray boys, they're in the Butler County tournament. They play three games there. McLean County actually really good this year. They're a 5-1. They'll play a sister of the poor team tomorrow night, so they'll go in 6-1. Then they get OCATH and also Todd Central, so it'll be a good test for them. Let's move to Callaway. The thing that I admire about the Lakers, they're blown out by Murray High, 63-37. But, wow, did they bounce back with big wins against Carterville and Graves County back-to-back.
Yeah, the Carterville win, a 30-point win. And then the Graves County game, to me, was really interesting because when they played Graves County, that game was literally neck and neck all the way to the third quarter. I mean, you get to the end of the third quarter, and it was a one-point lead for Callaway. I mean, we were tied, one-point lead for Callaway. They closed that game out in the fourth quarter. They went out there, and, you know, they beat them by 9 in the quarter. And it was just one of those things where, again, if Callaway's hitting their shots, they're a really tough team to beat because they have that many perimeter shooters. I remember that game started off with 4 straight threes made by Callaway. It was 1 from Steele, I think 2 from Mize, and 1 from Butler. They really have the ability to stretch you thin and pull you out of the post. And then once you do have to contest outside, they can feed Chandler Steele down low. So I thought that, you know, the way, like you said, the way they responded after that loss, I know that, again, looking at that game, if they knock down their shots, they're in that game. I mean, they may not have won that game, but they were much more it was much more of a contest in that case. And so they didn't hang their heads after that game. They knew that it really just came down to them knocking down shots. Let's go out there in the next one and let's knock down shots. And they drop 80 on Carterville. And then the next one, they go out against Graves. And now Graves is a little bit down this year, but they're still going to be a team that'll make it to the regional tournament because that district over there is not that strong. It's not like the one where Callaway, Marshall, and Murray are going to, one of them's going to knock each other out. I mean, it's sad to say every single year, but three of the top five teams in the region are in the same district, and one of them's going to be left at home by the time the regional tournament comes, and it's going to be either Murray, Marshall, or Callaway. And at this point, after watching them all play, I couldn't pick what's going to happen in the district tournament because these teams all are so capable of being excellent on any given night. It's just which team has more of a chance of having a dud game. And we've only seen one dud game so far, and that was the Callaway game, but we've also seen that they can compete. So you can't really predict this district yet. Obviously, it's going to be fun as the season wears on and we get to see Callaway versus Marshall for the first time. And when we see Callaway Murray the second time, I mean, this Callaway team is good, and all of them are. So it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be very fun.
They get a stiff test, too, and one of the oldest tournaments in the state, the Tillman Christmas Tournament, University Heights, Caro, and Paducah-Tillman. So three big tests for Callaway County coming up in that one. A little bit on Murray State. I want to talk about the hiring of football coach Dean Hood. A really impressive resume. You were at the press conference. Give me your impressions of Dean Hood at that press conference.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to have Dean Hood as the new head coach. He's the type of guy. I mean, I loved what Krigler said, you know, the Board of Regents guy. You know, he said, if we would have gotten an SEC guy, I'd have been happy. If we'd have gotten a guy with OVC experience, I'd have been happy. If we'd have gotten a guy that could recruit this area, I would be happy. And instead, we got all three. I thought that was just a really well said. I mean, it's a home run hire. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of recruiting class he can bring in. There's a couple guys, actually wrote a column about this this week. A couple of guys that I think locally, you know, need a little bit of a look. Maybe not necessarily, you don't have to offer them. I mean, that's not what I'm saying with that column. It's at least give them a look, give them an opportunity. Obviously, Hunter Utley, Tommy Waldrop. I like Jariah Hightower a lot. I think he could come in and immediately impact a Murray State football team, especially with the style of game that I've heard Dean Hood likes to run with that power run. If you look at that roster, there are no power running backs on it right now. So I think bringing in a dry Hightower could have an immediate impact. Obviously, Luke Schwepter, and there are plenty of others that I mentioned in that article. But I think he's going to be a home run hire. I think he's going to change the way that Murray State plays football. And I think it can only go up from here, considering what we've had in the last, you know, 15 years. Murray State football has sort of been down for the last 15 years. So I like it. I'm excited by it, and I look forward to great things from Coach Hood.
Speaking of football, let's talk about your fantasy football and what you have for us this week.
Well, we're going to start off with our stardom. I'm going with Dwayne Haskins Jr., quarterback for the Washington Redskins, and I have never even thought I would say this, but looking at the matchup and looking at the fact that Haskins is so cheap this week, I feel like going against the Giants, he's good for two touchdowns. If he gets a third one, then you're well exceeding value. I mean, he literally just needs to get two touchdowns this week to reach value, considering the price tag. And so I like him this week. I'm rolling out Terry McLaurin just to pair with him because I feel like if he's going to have success, that'll be the guy he gets it to. As far as my sit-em, I'm sitting A.J. Brown of the Titans against the Saints, and I'll be at that game, so I'll get a chance to see if Marshawn Lattimore locks him down like I think he will. I know A.J. Brown's been pretty hot lately. He's put up multiple 100-yard games, and he's been a big go-to target for the Titans and Tannehill, but I think the Saints defensively have the ability to slow a guy like that down. especially when you look at what they just did to the Colts and T.Y. Hilton. And as far as game of the week, I don't know what you got on the air on Saturday there, Neil, but
we have none on Saturday. Those, yeah, those aren't our games on Saturday. We can't carry those.
Oh, well, there's a pretty good one on Saturday. It's the Bills and the Patriots. And the Bills sitting at 10-4, the Patriots at 11-3. The Bills could win this thing and win the division. And I don't remember the last time the Patriots lost the division. They probably have gone longer than the Murray High Tigers have gone of not losing the district.
Maybe.
So it's been a long run of success. And, you know, looking at what the Bills have done lately and how they've played this year, same thing with the Patriots, how they've kind of struggled here down the stretch. I don't want to count out the fact that I think the Bills can legitimately win this game over the Patriots and win that division.
All right, so you're going to the game. What kind of seats you have? Good seats?
Yeah, good seats.
Oh, we've got some seats in the uppers, but that's where I prefer to sit. If I'm going to go to a game to watch, I'd like to be upper level because the coach in me wants to see the all 22. I want to see all 22 players on the field at the same time. I want to be able to get that bird's eye view and know, you know, all right, well, this safety's dropped back in the middle of the field. It's likely a cover three, might be a cover one. You know, that's the way I watch football if I'm not working. I actually just watch the schematics of the game and how players match up and how coaches try to change things. So we're actually in, section 313 and row Y. So we're up there, but it's exactly where I wanted to be. You know, I got tickets on the day that they announced the schedule, so I had choice of anywhere I wanted, and that was exactly where I wanted. We're right around the 50-yard line. We're right up top. Perfect.
Yeah, that's not bad. I've sat in the next to top row of that stadium, and that's when you pass God on the way up and go, how you doing? Things going all right? And then you go on up a few. I was in JJKK is the top level, and let me tell you, man, that is way, way up there. They look like ants when you're that high up. But right at the edge of that upper level actually is a really good seat. I've been there too. All right, Blake, no show next week. Have a terrific Christmas, and we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks, all right?
All right, appreciate it, Neil.
All right, thanks a lot. Blake Brunet, sports editor of the Murray Ledger and Times. Josh Planos will be my guest on Friday's show.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.